The following podcast has been rated TVMA, NSFW, R, and NC-17, so it is not safe for kids. Put your children to bed. You spent enough time with them anyway. Say, friend. Hey, mate. Sup, guy? You there? I'm talking to you. Are you looking for a way to have fun that's safe and socially responsible? Of course you are! Just because we're all shut in to avoid spreading a deadly pandemic doesn't mean we can't have a good time doing it! Why not spend an evening with Chicago's most trusted best liqueur, Jepson's Malort? Its unusual, full-bodied flavor is a taste savored by two-fisted drinkers. So, if you think your two fists are strong enough, why not grab a shot of the only booze ballsy enough to let me rip on it and powerful enough to keep even the most maskless troublemaker a good 6 feet away? So, if the lockdown's got you down, why not have a shot of Malort? If you're going insane, self-isolation is lame. Just do a shot of Malort. Malort, aiding in social distancing since the 1930s and proud sponsor of Chad the Podcast, which is what you're listening to right now. Hey, what's going on, America? My name is Chad. I'm a bird, and you're listening to my podcast. Checks all the boxes. Yep, checking all the boxes. All right, we got high score in the game of box checking. Hey, it's New Year. Here we are. Some shit went down this week. Bit of a kerfuff. Bleh, jeems. All right, as this show's recorded January 10th, 2021. 2020's old enough to drink now. We're all gonna eat it. So yeah, shit went down this week, Wednesday. Couple of Nazis dressed up like Man Bear Pig sort of stormed the Capitol. It was very weird and really upsetting, and we're all still dealing with it. So if you are in the future wondering what's going on, why don't you Google U.S. Capitol insurrection or coup? It was shitty. We're still dealing with it. I mean, for me, it wasn't like scary. It was more like, you know, when you come home and find out somebody like left you a piss drawer. And you just got that look on your face like, come on, ew. Like, they're all getting arrested and they're all losing jobs and they're all getting it from both ends, which is good as far as I'm concerned. They can be fucking tarred and feathered in the square. But we don't do that anymore. That's for people like them. Anyway, thing is, we're all still raw about it this week and I didn't want to talk about it. Instead, I wanted to talk about New Year's. Because New Year's is here. It came and went. We kind of missed it because we're all a little pissed off because we're still in a pandemic. Anywhooms. So I looked at the old archives and I found this from 2017. And that was back in the day when we were allowed to be in bars and hang out with people and share nuts in a bowl. And every now and then someone would do this, get this. Every now and then someone would go, hey, taste this. And you would drink from their cup. Fucking gnarly, man. We didn't know. We did know. You just didn't care. But I always washed my hands. Anywho. So this piece is from back in those days. It's going to be a sonic adventure. Back in the before times, I was in a show called The Paper Machete, and we used to do it every Saturday at the Green Mill Lounge in Chicago. Historic, landmark, gangster bar, riddled with ghosts. Super fun times, though. So close your eyes and travel back with me, won't you? A new year has come. December 31st, 2017. Well, no, wait, it would have been 2016. You get the fucking idea. December 31st, 2016, Green Mill Lounge, and I'm talking about New Year's. Hey, pay attention. This shit's interesting information.
Promise that you like me, cause it could go downhill. I can't promise that you love me, but you probably will. I can't promise
it's
that you
Chad the Bird!
What up, humans? Well, it's come to this.
After all the hemming and hawing, bitching and moaning, laughing and crying, loving and hating, watching and waiting, seeing and believing, doubting, changing, surprising, and being pretty fucking predictable, eating and sleeping, sexing, drinking, oh, the drinking. Smoking, hugging, forgetting and losing, remembering, understanding, impressing, depressing, learning and forgetting, and then getting up to pee, sitting in your favorite chair or the MC seat on the train, and listening to your iPhone go off and just not answering it. Seriously, why do you do that? People can hear you. Everyone can hear you. Can you not hear that? Also, what's with your ringtone? Why do we even have ringtones? Just set the goddamn thing to vibrate, put it in your back pocket, and ride the train like James Bond. It's cooler, and people can get on with their goddamn morning. Seriously, answer the goddamn phone. And then getting off the train and walking in so many different kinds of weather to get where you're going that face lotion should be considered a basic human need, right up there with water. It's time. One more ride around the sun has come to a close, and there is nothing we can do to stop it. After all, the clock ticks on because time is your Frankenstein's monster, humanity, and it doesn't give a shit about you. You're just along for the ride. But damn it, do we use it? We use it so much that we gotta make sure we're exact when we do. Like we're Walter White in a goddamn RV. You can't be over, it's bullshit, Jesse! Humans have been trying to get the most accurate, most pure, most fucking dope time clock for hundreds of years, ever since time became a major factor in the human experience. Now, in February of this year, 2016, German physicists created the most accurate clock to date, measuring the vibrational frequency of the oscillating ytterbium ion. Joe, all this time, the answer was right there. Ytterbium is an ion that can be used to molecularly strengthen stainless steel in a process called doping. So there, yeah, steel can be dope too. Let it in the club. But that took a long time to get to. You see, back before, in the before times, people used their stomachs to figure out when they should get up and start doing shit collectively, which makes sense, you know? Like, you've been on vacation, eating everything you see, and then, like, passing out around 9:30, and then, like, you got back home, you went back to work, and suddenly around 4 p.m. you're craving turkey and brown ale, and it's a fucking Tuesday. And then you pass out around 7:30 when the rest of the Marxist world is sitting down to dinner. So you know how that goes. And after a while, people started using the sun and moon to dictate their getting shit done times, because they figure if they use daylight, nighttime, and the seasons to their advantage, they could maybe avoid having to hunt in the snow, stub their toe on a rock in the dark, or just like being eaten by a tiger because they're hungry too. It's all very relatable. You get it. Anyway, bippity-boppity-boo, calendars. Thing is, everybody was chilling in different climates and parts of the world, and so all time was specific to their needs, so all calendars were different, and that, Virginia, is why some people don't give a shit about your goddamn May Day baskets. Their calendar is based on stars and sometimes the moon, like werewolves. And like werewolves, don't fuck with them. And after people started living together, because, like, you know, there's a party going on next door, and nobody's saying don't go to the party, they settled in different places where seasons don't happen as regularly and the sun comes up at different times. And imagine what that would have been like, figuring that out for the first time. Big-ass ball of fire in the sky is suddenly late. You got to figure that had to make one nomad go, fuck it, why am I ever on time for anything? And, like, that's how the first punk was born. But anyway, so... So now time needed to be more collective because people were confused, kind of like when you fly to Australia and suddenly it's yesterday. But everyone could agree on that big-ass ball of fire in the sky, so wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, sundials. Now, so popular were the sundial that the Roman playwright Plautus wrote about how much he hated them. Quote, "The gods confound the man who first found out how to distinguish hours. Confound him, too, who in this place set up a sundial to cut and hack my days so wretchedly into smaller portions." So when you bitch about your alarm clock going off in the morning, remember, people been doing that for thousands of years. You're not alone. So now we get to time management. And once the Christian influence took over Western Europe, we get canonical hours to keep track of prey time. And in China, you get klepstras, which are water clocks if you're nasty. And that kind of do the same thing. But still, time is only measured by people who were into it or like casually down with it like a hobbyist. You know, rich people. So 17th and 18th century, work days begin and end by the sun, called true time, because the sun is cheap. You with me so far? But them's in charge started to figure out that if they went by the clock, old French word for bell, they could get more out of their workers because everyone's got to make money. Called that the Protestant work ethic, and fee-fi-fo-fucking-fum, Mondays were invented. Eventually, thanks to the Industrial Revolution, which is when work was considered one of the five basic food groups, standard time and time zones come around, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. But shit, people are out on boats now. So in order to bring the miracle of hump day to the sailors and seafaring workers of the world, chronometers, that's a boat clock, or sea swatch if you remember the 80s, were invented. But how in the holy hell can you synchronize a bunch of boat clocks? They're on boats. You ever try to tie up a boat? It moves, son, and you're its bitch. Well, around 1829, an officer in the Royal Navy at the time, Robert Wauchop, came up with this plan for, quote, ascertaining the rates of chronometers by signal. And it went like this. We take a giant hollow metal sphere rigged up on a pole, hooked up to a gadget that lets it drop at the same time every day and that boats could see it. And in 1845, the, quote, time ball went into production and people everywhere started using it to set their own personal workaday clocks because, like, it's a giant ball. You can't miss it. Might as well get into it. Now, flash forward, which we can do because time's been invented. Here we go. To 1896, New York City, Adolph Ox buys a dying paper called the New York Times and decides he's going to make it the shit. He relocates the business to Longacre Square in Manhattan, renames the building Times Square, and then just to flex the biggest nuts he could, decides to throw a New Year's Eve party because he's rich and fuck you, let's party. Anyway, 1904. Big-ass fireworks display, 200,000 people, big to-doings. Becomes a tradition because who doesn't love an annual to-doings? Now, in 1907, Ox hears about this wacky sailor's tradition of watching a giant ball drop for an hour to set your watch, get your bearings, or just time ball and chill. So he figures that'd be a swell thing for the people to watch for his It's New Year's Eve, but fuck it, I saved the New York Times fuck you party. Now, incandescent lights were becoming a thing. And clearly this guy Ox likes shiny things. So he hires this Russian immigrant metal worker named Jacob Starr and the Art Craft Sign Company to build an iron and wood time ball covered in sweet flashy lights and then asks Starr himself to manually lower the ball at midnight, signifying the start of 1908. And then, cuckoo ka-choo, Mrs. Robinson, the ultimate reminder that time is an out-of-control Frankenstein's monster that doesn't give a shit about you, New Year's Eve. And as the clock strikes midnight tonight, wherever you are on the earth, you'll measure your existence accordingly, because why wouldn't you? Time has you strapped to its back whether you like it or not, and there's a ball drop and a bitchin' party. So, to all of you, as we swing around in space for one other round for the future, please remember, don't let your watch tell you how to live. Don't let your microwave clock tell you how to feel. Don't listen to your iPhone when it tells you it's time. You don't have to. The world moves on its own. Your nature has its own agenda. Your life, your existence, and all the shit that you do is only measured by minutes because you want it to be. You built it. It didn't just happen, and the rich made it rule. You don't have to rise and shine for anyone but your own stomachs. You don't have to work under anything other than the sun you're spinning around. So next year, don't let the clock be your master. Take up the reins and make that timepiece your bitch. You ride that ticking dick all night long until it breaks. And when that ball drops at the end of another trip around a big ball of fire in the sky, then you can look back and you can say, you did what you could. You did what you needed to. And fuck it, let's party. Because what matters is what you do with your time, not when you do it. Don't wait. Now is the time to make things better. And put your fucking phone on vibrate. See you in the future.
Special thanks to the Barrerakudas for their kick-ass song Promises. It takes us out on the back end there each and every episode, each and every year. Thank you to Jebsen's Malort for being my sponsor and the drink of choice for 2021. Thank you to the Paper Machete and the Green Mill Lounge for recording me and loving me. We'll see you soon, no doubt. And thank you to you for being you. Hey, stay frosty. We got a long ride ahead. We can do this. Just got to keep ourselves in the game. You don't want to act crazy. Put on a fucking buffalo hat and go kicking in the door of the U.S. Capitol for the first time since 1814 when the British burned it. You don't want to do that because it makes you look like a jagweed because you would be one. Also a terrorist. Also an insurrectionist. Anyway, Happy New Year!